Hello and good day, everyone. This is Kevin Finkel, and you are listening to another episode of Magic the First Pioneers. This is a pioneer podcast, so we talk all about the pioneer format to keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
And my name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan.
All right. So what we are talking about today. So last time we did a little bit of a... What was our last topic?
We talked about the Plains of Pioneer last time.
Oh, right. Yeah. So we continued that series a little bit. The one before that, we were talking a little bit about Pioneer, how it got successful. Mm-hmm. I think before that, we were talking competitive. This week, we want to go a little bit on the finance side, a little bit on the brewing side almost, mm-hmm. in that we want to talk a little bit about budget decks. So this is something, you know, I always love to do this. I think that back when I was playing Frontier, when, you know, we were a Frontier podcast, nobody was playing Frontier, I did it all the time, is that I would make, you know, cheap versions of the popular decks. I would try and have like 6, 7, 8 decks around at a time, because whenever I got to a new place and I wanted to be like, hey, you haven't tried this format that I love, here's a cheap deck that gives you a good idea of what playing the deck is like. If you love it, it's easy to go and take what I, you know, take what I showed you and go and make a deck out of it that's going to be a competitive deck. And then you can put a little money into it over time. So something that I'm passionate about, something that I feel like I've got a good knack on, is just like building fun budget versions of the best decks. You know, trying to really come down in cost without coming down too much in the power level and or the, you know, the fun of what's interesting about playing that kind of deck.
So I think that, you know, Pioneer, again, is kind of in a unique situation. You could never do this with, like, a Modern or Legacy. I think, you know, it's just too expensive, like the cards. You couldn't make a $50 budget, you know, John deck. You know, it'd be just one Liliana.
Yeah.
Basically, and then like, you know, 59, you know, black mana, it's in a unique unique spots. It's not that difficult to build budget decks and, you know, challenger decks for Pioneer, I think. So and like you said, we did this, you know, back when we were playing Frontier, and if anybody wants to listen to that, I archived them on my Code of the Cardboard Samurai channel. It's episode 40 of the Final Frontier, so we can try to get you a link to that if you're interested in hearing about our Frontier lists later, but probably not, but just in case.
Yeah, I think it talks to what we praise WotC for a lot of time, is they've been really consistent on their power level in the last several years, so there may be a best choice. You know, the pros have tested, they decided this is the best card.
Yeah.
But the second best version of that card might not be much different, or, you know, in certain situations might be stronger.
Yeah.
And it could be a fraction, it could be pennies, while the best version is a $25 card.
Yeah, exactly.
So
just to say one more thing about the Frontier podcast that we did, I believe we talked about a lot of different decks that we're not talking about today on this episode. So if you want to know, I believe we talked about Hardened Skills and like Atarka Red last time. So, you know, if you want to get some more ideas for budgets, you know, decks in Pioneer, I definitely recommend listening to the old episode 40 of The Final Frontier if you have the chance.
Yeah, and if you tweet out to us at some of those episodes, then we're happy to say, oh, well, here's a couple more things that if you don't know Pioneer should also be going into those decks if you're bringing them up from a, you know, real budget version.
Yeah.
And where I came with a lot of these is that I wanted to make a deck that, you know, this is a $40 version of the deck. And it's very clear where you can upgrade. So I'm not, you know, putting a lot of money into one card that's not going to be used in the real version. If I'm putting a little money into a card, it's probably the best card for that slot. And then, you know, oh, okay, I can put in $10, $20 at a time here on my mana base to improve it later. Or, you know, switch out to get fatal pushes, something like that. That's going to cost just a little bit of money over time.
Yeah, so, yeah, same thing. I built, like, a $40 to $50 Challenger deck version, and then I built, like, a budget $100-ish version as well.
Yeah, so that's what we did. We took we took kind of 6 decks, some of the more popular decks in the format, and we kind of split them out, saying, okay, you build these 3, I'll build these 3. We're going to see what a budget version of some of the top decks in the format might look like. And we set our price ranges being about $40 and then about $100.
So should we talk about what decks we chose for today's podcast?
Sure, yeah. So which 3 did you end up with? I don't fully remember.
I ended up choosing Sultai Delirium, Heliod Devotion, and Blue-White Spirits.
Okay. Yeah, those are all good ones. Some of those are tough. You know, I picked ones that I thought were going to be easier. Not of them, all of them were. Mm-hmm. So I picked Mono Black, I picked Mono Red Aggro, and I picked the Blue-White Control deck.
Okay. Sounds fun.
And you touched on it really briefly there. You had said something about, you know, Challenger decks, and that was something we had in mind is, you know, think about the price range of what a Challenger deck comes out at. And we also were thinking like, hey, you know, this would be a good chance for if what Wizards of the Coast wanted to, you know, print one or two of a chase card in each one of these decks. And that would be a good way for us to, you know, bring down the price of those cards, put some value into these decks. So, you know, if they put one of Teferi, Hero, Dominaria in the blue-white deck, that's $30 right now. Mm-hmm. But it could really bring it down if the whole deck is $45 or $40.
Yeah, so, I mean, I basically subtracted like $3 or $4 from most of these cards.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I'm just going to point out in a couple places being like, hey, this would be a great place for them to do, like, you know, one Mutavault in a mono black deck would make a huge world of difference on the price for that card.
Yeah, because it was only printed once, so.
Yeah. All right, so you want to jump into it? You got a preference?
Yeah.
Do you want me to start?
I'll start first, just because this is one of the more challenging decks. So I want, you know, if you can listen and then kind of give me some feedback, you know, maybe if you would choose different cards, you know, how you would do this.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with Soultide Delirium. And actually,
yeah, that's a tough one.
When we were discussing this this topic the other day, you said, why not just make it green and black? And I think that's probably the best way to make this a Challenger deck that's going to be about $40 or $50. You need to basically change Soultide Delirium to just green black Delirium.
Yeah, and I think the reason I said that is, you know, Euro is one of the hugest parts of cost in that deck, and the other one being Jace Verdant Prodigy.
Yeah.
And those are really the only draws to blue other than counters.
Breeding pool.
And the land. So you lose those couple big cards, and it doesn't make much sense to still be in blue, I think.
But it's still a decent kind of like green black rock deck slash, you know, Delirium thing. There's still a lot of payoffs, I think. So basically how I would build this, I would have a tracker in there, which are going for about $7. Now I'd have some coursers, you know, which is about $8. I would do two coursers for about $8. I would have a Nissa Who Shakes the World. That's like $7. I'd have two Fatal Push. That would be about $6 or so right now. I'm using current prices, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine. And I was going to actually say beforehand, I'm like, I hope you're fine with me using U.S. dollars for
all of this. Yeah, I'm using U.S. dollars as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assume.
I used MTG Goldfish to find all these prices. It was because they have all the deck list and then the price and stuff like that, and it's very easy. Anyways. Traverse, the Uvenwald, I think that's a good card to have in a Delirium deck. I had two of those in there for $8 total. Abrupt Decay, I think, is a pretty good budget. It's a great removal spell, and, you know, it's a good budget card for Pioneer right now. It's only $7, so I thought I'd add one of those in there. You probably need to reprint some Shocks, even though maybe it's just because it's standard right now, but I think Overgrown Tomb would be a good include in this Soultide Challenger deck. Instead of the Fast Lands, I'd probably go with the Pain Lands. So instead of like the Blooming Marsh, I believe, I would use the Llanowar Waste. And instead of Fabled Passage, I'd probably use Evolving Wilds in this deck.
Yep, I had to make those kind of sacrifices in a couple things.
And
I don't even think I put any Shocks in any of mine. You know,
those
really do add up right now. So is this the version you've gotten down to about $100 that you're talking about
now? This is the Soultide Challenger deck. This is like the $40, $50 one. So
okay.
I'm guessing this is going to be true for you. I'm not going to include all of the commons and uncommons that are like, you know, four for a dollar. You know, like, of course, the Seder Wayfinder is going to be in this deck. But like we said, we'll probably end up dropping, you know, the Jaces and whatnot. So instead of the Jace, I'm thinking of adding in Nyx Weaver, which lets you...
Okay.
It's an enchant.
I know what that one does. Why don't you say what it does? Because I think a lot of our listeners will not know.
So I believe that it's a green-black enchantment creature. And it's a 2/3, and sorry, I don't have it up right now, but I believe what it does...
One green, black, 2/3 reach.
And
at the beginning of your upkeep, you put, what, two cards
from
the top of your library?
And then you can sacrifice it to bring a card back from your graveyard to your hand.
I almost want to say you exile
it. Or exile
it,
yeah.
Maybe I'm being super specific here. I'm going to be impressed if that's it.
But I thought that'd be like a cool way, I mean, to kind of, you know, be kind of a, you know, kind of clever at kind of emulating the... How could I say? emulating the effect.
Of Jace lets you bring back
of Jace.
Your home.
What was it again?
Yeah, like you're saying, how Jace kind of makes your graveyard into a toolbox.
Fills up your graveyard and stuff like that. It also helps your delirium if it goes into the graveyard. I thought it would be a cool way to do that. Plus, if you probably want to be playing Ishkana, so I would add in two Ishkana if I'm doing that. Maybe just do like three or four Nyx Weavers, kind of make this like a green black delirium deck that's kind of more focused on spiders or something like that. I was telling about that before. Spiderlyrium.
Hey, wasn't there another guy that makes spiders based on the creatures in your graveyard or something?
There's a flashback one. I don't know. Maybe there is.
Maybe.
Like a Golgari one?
It was in the like recent Return to Ravnica set. So here's my kind of question is you're obviously not running Emrakul because Emrakul would be the price of your entire deck. So what is the payoff for your ramp? And what is the payoff for your delirium? Because those are kind of the two things that deck was doing before.
I don't know if this deck is actually ramping because, without Uro, you're not putting cards, in play faster.
Okay, you still got Nissa, I suppose.
Yeah, you still got Nissa, and this is kind of a payoff. You could definitely just play more than one Nissa if you wanted to. You can't really choose any of the Eldrazi. I don't know, maybe...
Did you consider something like Pelucranos, maybe,
to
get that, that escape effect?
Yeah. I think that's a good idea, actually. I didn't consider that. So yeah, Pelucranos would probably be a good choice as like a one-off or two-off in here.
Grimflayer seems like it would fit maybe in your more expensive version. I don't know, if you want to talk to that.
Yeah, it's not so expensive. So, should I do the Sultai budget then as well now?
Yeah, so what's your, like, $100 version?
Okay,
so what are you adding to it, or are you kind of just starting from scratch?
So $100 version, I think this would be more of, like, your Sultai one. This is where you could actually probably have the three colors in the mana base. So still, I would not play Jace, because Jace is so expensive right now. I would instead put, like, Azcantha in here. So, like, Azcantha...
Okay, that's, $7, $8, isn't it?
It's, like, $7, $8 a piece. So I'd put, like, two of those in there to kind of help you put stuff into your graveyard and take advantage of you having a lot of cards in the graveyard, finding your win conditions and stuff like that. Chorister's going to be the same. Murderous Rider, I think, probably be a good one-off in this deck. It's, like, $5 a piece. Trackers, two. I would have two trackers this time. You could probably go up to... You probably have two Ishkana. Or just one Ishkana. Probably one Ishkana is probably fine. I think if you're going to be... So before I said I'd want to switch Blooming Marsh to like Llanowar Waste and stuff like that. I think I could get away with maybe putting Worldbreaker in this deck. Just add in more sources, more pain land sources for your deck. So you can still hit your mana, but you have ways to bring that back from the graveyard after putting it in the graveyard. So that was just an idea. Tamiyo's $1, so Tamiyo would go in this build. Ashiok's like $8, so you could put Ashiok in there if you want. Nissa's still in there. Instead of Thoughtseize, I would just switch those to like 4 Thought Erasure. So you get the Surveil, you get to put more stuff into the graveyard, plus you get to, get rid of their hand. I would still have 2 Traverse, just before. I would go up to 2 Abrupt Decay in the budget build. Watery Grave.
I mean, that's doing a lot of your... I mean, Abrupt Decay is $10. Traverse can be $10.
Abrupt Decay is like $7. Traverse is like $4.
Maybe you're right, yeah.
Like I said, I'm going off of prices from MTG Goldfish today, so...
Yeah, did you price the whole deck out? Are you keeping it under...
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Pretty much. This is around $100, $110 or so. And like I said, if this stuff gets reprinted, it'll be a little bit cheaper than that. So, 2 Abrupt Decay I think would be fine. Assassin's Trophy is the one that's expensive. I'd probably just keep that out of it. Watery Grave, I'd have 2 of those at, they're about $9 a piece, so that'd be like 18 total. And then maybe 2 Overgrown Tombs, which are like $11 a piece. And then again, instead of Passage, I'd have Evolving Wilds again. And you could also, if you didn't want to use Painlands, you could probably also use Woodland Cemetery, to help fix your mana.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, I think I forgot about the check lands. I feel like I completely missed on those.
So that's Sultai budget. Do you have any comments? Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I definitely, I stayed away from that one because that's, that can be a $700 deck in paper right now. Definitely the most expensive deck of the format. So I'm fairly impressed, keeping away from Uro, keeping away from Jace, keeping away from some of the stuff like,
I mean, the budget deck sounds decent, to be honest. You know, you got some nice beaters in there, and you got some good hand disruption and some good removal. So, mana base is going to be the most expensive part, but
yeah, mana base will be a lot of expensive. So, does that have a good upgrade path to the, you know, the real version?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, you just got to basically get those Uros and maybe get up to those Jaces, you know, from the Azcanta. But I think for the most part, it's like 60% of what you need.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So what's your first deck? What are you going to tell us? All right.
So I'm going to go with my first deck on being mono red. So that was my, you know, first pick. I'm like, hey, if I'm making a budget deck, mono red's always got to be easy, right? And, you know, the mono red deck in Pioneer usually runs like 200 to 250, I'd say, like a fully decked out version.
Yeah, not too expensive.
Yeah, not too crazy. So I was looking at where you can really save, you know, cheaper on the mono base, cheaper on... So what I can really get rid of. So I actually... I'm going to quick send you these because I actually did fully, you know, make a 75-card list.
Wow, you went all out, man.
I always do. So, you know, maybe I'll post these with the finished here, but I'll send these over to you, Ryan, so that you can look at them while I'm talking about them. So this budget version, this one's, coming in about $40. So a couple things that I really looked at being cheaper, you know, some of the one drop Soul Scar Mage is like $4. That's a little on the pricey side. Bone Crusher Giant was a tough one for me to cut. I cut that from the cheapest version, the $100 version. I managed to get it in there. What I really did build around is, you know, right now the best version seems to be a Torbrand build of the deck. So I wanted to keep with that. So, you know, three Torbrands is like $9 to $10, and I managed to fit that into all three versions of the deck. So some cheap options that I looked at to, you know, get a cheaper version. You know, Rabble Master is still quite expensive. I looked at Legion or Legion Warboss. He's still like $3-4, so he made it into my $100 version. In the real cheap version, I went with Crop Crasher as a budget option.
What's that do again? Is that the 3-2?
That's the 3-2 haste that can exert to make something unable to block this turn.
Okay. I'm surprised you didn't go with Kenra Earthshaker.
I mean, that's a 2-drop. I was looking at Earthshaker Kenra. The one I actually went with for 2-drop is Ash Zealot, which was actually seeing a little bit of play in this deck for a while and is very cheap. That's the 2-2 first strike haste that damages a player when they cast something from the graveyard.
I love that against Lotus Breach.
Yeah, that's one of the cards that, you know, Eidolon of the Great Revel is really what this deck normally uses to fight that deck, and that's, you know, a $7, $8 card, so I kept away from that one. Chandra Torture Defiance is another one that really drives up the price of this deck. I was looking at other options for there. You know, Chandra Fire Artisan is, like, less than a dollar.
That's the one where it's removed, right?
Yeah, well, if it takes damage, it deals damage to something, and you know you get a card every turn. Still pretty reasonable. I also don't hate the M15 one. I think that one is Flame
Pyromaster. No,
Pyromaster. You know what? That might be right.
The one that one damage and they can't block, and then you get
damage to a creature and a player, and that creature can't block, and it can do the same thing where it impulses. So that's pretty nice. You know, okay, so I got to talk about it. The most important way to save some money here is Wild Slash is like $4. Shock is like 4 cents. And that's one of those cases where, you know, the cases where Wild Slash will help you are absolutely minimal, especially in a version without without many of the four power creatures. So my super budget version, I don't think there's going to be any time where that Shock is going to hurt you versus a Wild Slash.
Did you add Ramunap Ruins into the budget version?
So the $40 version, no. Ramunap Ruins on its own, those are going to run you $3-4. So when you've got $40, you're looking at like 50 cents a card is your average. That makes it tough to fit anything like that in.
And you said no Mutavaults either, right?
Yeah, no Mutavaults either. So those are about $20. The other big one that I couldn't find a spot for would be like a single Embercleave. In my $100 one, I went with a single copy of Embercleave. That's one of those cases where I'm like, this would be a great place for them to put one of them in, and it would, you know, hopefully lower the price of that, and it would put a lot of value into a deck that, you know, if they're releasing a fully fledged out deck.
The Challenger deck sounds really good, to be honest. It sounds really well done.
Have you taken a look at these?
So do you want to talk about your budget deck then?
You're calling the budget deck the cheaper version?
So the Challenger deck is the one that I would... that's stuff that they usually sell to kind of bring prices down. Yeah, that's like $40 or so. I'm asking about your budget version, which is like, it's not the full version. That's like $300, but it's like $100 or so.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I kind of built them just thinking like, oh, this is my budget version and my super budget version. Okay. So my budget version, yeah, I do get to, you know, try out. I've got one Embercleave in there. I've got the Ramen Up Ruins, managed to pay for those.
Four of them?
Yeah, those aren't too bad. I think that's like $12.50 mm-hmm. for four of them. Again, I'm also using, I think, MDG Goldfish because it's got the whole deck list mm-hmm. in there. Yeah, I managed to put the Legion War bosses in there. I threw like one Hazoret in there. I didn't put the Chandra Torture Defiance. I felt like it was either that or Embercleave. And Bonecrusher Giant is the other big upgrade there. So those are some easy ways to go, you know, upgrade those. And then later you can look at, you know, a lot of things like sideboard things, mm-hmm. like Eidolon of the Great Revel. The normal version plays Rampaging Ferocidon, which is like $3. I replaced that with Tibble.
Yeah.
Who's like 25 cents.
Yeah. I mean, and, there's some. I love creating budget versions of these decks to find out what other cards could do it. Like you said, Tibble, genius. You know, saves so much money.
Yeah. You know, the other one I felt like was really cool is Claim the Firstborn in my super budget version. I was like, oh man, that's a great way to... I'd love to play that on some Euros.
Oh, the take control and then attack with it, you mean? Is that what it
is?
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't sacrifice it afterwards. That sucks.
Yeah. That's true. That's about all I've got for the mono red. If you look through it, any questions, any cards, you're like, oh, why do you run that? Why do you play? Or anything you're thinking
of? Did you think of, like, for card advantage in the cheaper versions, did you think of Abbot of Carol Keep?
Yeah, you know, Abbot's not too expensive. I was looking at a version that's a little more aggro, not quite as card advantage-y.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other way I could have gone with it would be to build something around, like, Experimental Frenzy.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask about that,
but too. I felt like I was building the Torbrand version of it, and that you really want, you know, a lot of creatures. You don't want to go wide with spells.
I don't know. Would it be cheap to kind of build a chunky red now, or is chunky red just not good at all? Just better just do
not
the aggro
bad.
Version?
You know, Glorybringer dropped in cost a lot.
Like
$3 I think that
now, maybe.
Yeah, I think that it would still be difficult for a reason that I'll get to when I talk about my black version mm-hmm. later.
No, I think the mono red sounds good. I think it's very competitive. And red's always going to be good. It's always going to be one of the easiest decks to kind of upgrade from standard to pioneer and pioneer to whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so back to me, my turn for the next deck.
Yeah, I went with my easiest one. You went with your hardest one first. So what do you got next?
Heliod. So the Heliod combo. And it's not really going to be Heliod combo. I'm just calling it Heliod Devotion, I guess. That's the best way to describe it. So starting off with my Challenger deck, I mean, it's going to have all of your commons, like I said. You know, you're going to have your inspectors.
So you're looking at a $40-ish dollar deck here.
So you're going to have all your inspectors. You're going to have your Daxos. All of those, you know, the, what was the enchantments? I can't remember the name of it.
Like Baffling End?
Baffling End.
Stasis Snare,
yeah. So you're going to have all that stuff in there. As far as your pricey cards are concerned, Anathenza, I think, is no problem having as like two or three of. Those are like $1.50 mm-hmm. a piece. Those are really good for your devotion. The Knight of the White Orchid is kind of pricey right now. I think they're like $6 a piece. So in my Challenger deck, maybe I'll have like two of those. So that's like $12 right there. And then I think you kind of have to have Heliod at least as a one-off in your Challenger deck. And he's going for about 15. So
yeah, so that's, you know, half your budget there.
Yeah,
that's a little scary.
Takes up a big chunk. And then...
Well, okay, so then how do you get Walking Ballista in the deck?
So you really just play it more like the standard version. It's more of just Heliod. It's not really Heliod combo. It's more Heliod Devotion. Just playing a lot of
okay, that makes
white
sense.
Cards.
I was like, you could play one Heliod, one Walking Ballista, and 58 planes, and you'd be at your budget here, I think.
So like the other cards that some of the versions share, Elspeth Conqueror's deck to kind of get back your combo piece or whatever to exile as well. I think you could play Gideon Blackblade in this deck. He's like $6 a piece. They have it in the sideboard of a lot of the Heliod decks, but I think if you need devotion to kind of turn on Heliod. You know, and also he has the ability to give people lifelink, which kind of helps you to, you know, to kind of activate Heliod's ability to give, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, give counters around. Yeah, I mean, Gideon's still, you know, $6 is still a lot in a $40 deck. I don't know how, if you've, you know, you should try really building one of these because it gets difficult quick.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the commons, like I said, they're fine in this deck. Those would be your big money cards. That ends up being about $40 or so just with one Heliod, two Knights, and like the Gideon Black Blades.
Then you're counting the commons.
Yeah.
Freebies, kind of.
I mean, you could probably also put like the new Elspeth, what's her name? The one with Escape.
Sun's Nemesis?
Yeah, I think. You could probably
it's like
also
five and
put
a half bucks, I want to say.
It's not bad. So that would be the Challenger version. Like I said, it plays more like the standard version that where you're just getting life gain. You're more focused on, you know, putting the counters on stuff. For the budget version, so again, still playing Anathenzas, maybe like two of those. I think you could probably go up to three Knight of the White Orchid. Those are great cards to have. So that would be like $18 right there. I think you'd want to go up to two Heliod. So two Heliod there for about $30. You could probably keep in Elspeth Conquers Death because that's only like $2. Now I'd probably add in a Walking Ballista. They're going for about $25 a piece right now.
Yeah.
So, but you need to have it. I think the budget version, you could go for the combo. It'd be a little hard to justify two Ballistas at $50, but I think the money is better spent getting like other Gideons into this build. So like I would have Gideon Ally of Zendikar. I think he could use a good reprint. He's on like $15 right now, so that would even go even lower if he got reprinted. You could put a Castle Arden Veil in the budget version. Those are like $3 a piece. And then I still don't think it's really worth having the, Gideon Ally of, or not oh, Ally, okay. The Gideon of the Trials. I think he's
Gideon of the Trials. Yeah. Gideon of the Trials right now is quite
it's like
expensive.
$30-something dollars?
Yeah. You know, I was looking for a replacement for the card. I threw some Gideon's Intervention in my blue white deck.
Yeah.
I feel like that kind of plays the role. It's definitely a place where you'd put in the weaker card and upgrade it later, but that might be a reasonable way to look at it.
Yeah, Intervention basically is, yeah, it's like 40 cents or something like that in this list. So, like, that's something that you would basically play instead of the Gideon of the Trials until you can get Gideon of the Trials. So you're still kind of mainly focusing on, you know, stopping people and getting counters on your creatures with Heliod, but you do have the ability to find the Walking Ballista combo. It's just a little bit harder in a budget version because you only really have enough space for one. I did not choose to put Nykthos in there before you ask.
Yeah, I was about to ask about that.
Because that's like $30 for one Nykthos. It just seems not worth it. I mean,
again, that's a place where if they were to print some starter deck kind of things out of Pioneer, I would love to see if they printed one Nykthos in one of the decks.
Like
if it's a mono white, a mono red, whatever it is.
I think you have to do like a mono black Devotion probably.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Or, you know, a mono green.
Yeah, mono green, but like no one cares.
Mono green, I didn't go for that. That one was my next one. I wanted to look at a budget version. It would be tough right now because all the Planeswalkers run quite expensive.
Like Vivian and... what's the other Planeswalker?
Yeah, Karn.
Yeah.
Missa.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's my Heliod budget deck. Yeah, anything, any feedback, any suggestions?
No, I didn't go deep looking at your deck, so I don't know if I have any of that being like, oh man, why didn't you look at this budget alternative? I mean, I'd love to see like what yours actually prices out at, because I feel like you're underestimating. I feel like you're overestimating how much money you've got to work with, because like this was a hard experiment for me.
Well, I can go over the thing right now. So like Heliod budget and Anathenzas are $3 total. Knight of the White Orchids times 3 is 18, so that's 21. Heliod's times 2 is 30, so that's 51. Elspeth Conqueror's deck is $2, so that's 53. Walking Blitz is 25, so that's 78. Gideon Ally is 15, so that's 93. Arden Veil is 3, so that's 96 maybe? And then Gideon...
Yeah, but you're still going to spend a couple bucks on, you know, Thraven Inspectors, on...
Yeah, but like, you know, like, well, like I said, when I built this, I kind of gave myself a few dollars leeway because I knew that the price of these would drop a little bit.
Now, what about removal? You know, I think one that always held me up is like, ooh, can I afford Rest in Peace in my sideboard?
What'd you say?
Rest in peace. You know, that's a very popular white card right now. It's a big pull to white. You know, $5.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably include one in the sideboard. Otherwise, I'd probably go with, like, Tormid's Crypt, maybe.
Okay, yeah, I think that's reasonable.
As a budget replacement. Budget graveyard hate. So, your turn. You want to do your next pick?
All right, definitely. Yeah, I'm going to go with what I consider to be my hardest one, is looking at Mono Black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is, again, when you look at Mono Black, it's not a cheap deck. It's $450, I want to say, is usually what it runs about. And here's one of those cases where, you know, I don't like Thoughtseize because it's one of the only examples in Pioneer where one card is just so much better than the alternatives. Mm-hmm. You know, dropping Thoughtseize to Duress, yeah, it saves you $120 or something like that, but the power level difference is definitely there. And actually, you know, I really struggled with this deck all over the place. You know, what I thought were going to be some of the cheap cards. You know, when you're doing a red aggro, your one and two drops, they're really cheap. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, Bloodsoaked Champion's over $2. Gutterbones is over $2. Knight of the Ebon Legion is like $3 or $4.
More expensive in Japan, so it's like
trying
six.
To build a deck with that when your average card needs to be like 50 cents it was really difficult. So I do have a, you know, $40 version. I'm coming in at $39.38. I did manage to get Bloodsoaked Champion. Mm-hmm. I got two Knight of the Ebon Legion, and then I went with some Gnarled Scarhide as another one drop option.
Is that the one that bestows?
Yeah.
Ooh, I remember it. Nice. Good idea.
And not entirely non-consequential that it's an enchantment creature. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't afford the, you know, the big Rankles or the Spawn of Mayhems. So what I went with as kind of my top end there is Mindrak Demon.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the 4-drop, the 4-5 Flying Trample that if you've got Delirium, it doesn't deal you damage, but if you don't, it does.
Yeah.
So, you know, having a couple artifacts in this deck, a couple enchantments in this deck with Gnarled Scarhide. I've got a couple dead weights because Fatal Push is kind of pricey.
Yeah, I remember there's also like another, there's like a 5-5 for 3 mana in, I want to say, Journey into Nyx, but it's like...
Yeah, Master of Feasts.
Was that, it deals damage to everybody? Everybody draws a card each turn, or your opponent?
There's the one where your opponent draws a card on your upkeep. There's also one where, which I think it deals you damage.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just looking at other cheap options. You know, the biggest thing that we're losing, I think, is the mono base. Mm-hmm. So the thing that makes that mono black deck so powerful is because it's mono colored. It gets to run, you know, 4 Mutavault, 4 Castle Lockwain. Mm-hmm. It supplements that with a couple Urborg. But that mono base alone, even with 14 swamps, is still, you know, $150 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So losing all of that, we lose a lot of power. I tried to make up some of that up with Ifnir Deadlands as another utility land in black.
That the -2/-2?
Yeah, it can put -2/-1/-1 counters on something as a sorcery for 5 mana or 4 mana and tap it. Yeah, not the best, but, you know, I was trying to work with it. I was trying to emulate some of that, you know, card advantage that tries to play in the late game, and I also went a little bit harder on, you know, just some aggressive. Not all the versions right now are playing Mogus Marauder.
Yes.
I thought that was a good aggressive card.
I was going to ask about
that. I ran Ruin Raider, which is not one seen play ever, but that's why it's like a 40-cent card.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the 3/2 Orc Pirate that when you attacked with a creature at the end step, you you get the Dark Confidant effect.
Yeah.
Let me send these to you so you can follow along here. And then the last thing, you know, I couldn't afford to add any Murderous Rider.
Yeah.
You know, great card, but couldn't afford to add it. So I went with Ravenous Chupacabra. You know, that's a 30-cent card.
Yeah.
And kind of same plays the fact where it's a 2-for-1.
And it's a body. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a body.
I like that. So that's your Challenger deck.
That's my $40 version. Deck. Yeah. So when I was looking at how to go a little bit more expensive, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm really not going to be able to utilize the mana base. It even at $100, I can't add a $25 Mutavault that just couldn't justify it. So weirdly enough, I splashed another color.
Mm-hmm.
So
red.
Part of the reason why you don't splash another color in the black version is because you want to be able to play all those really good lands.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to play those lands anyways, it makes it a lot easier to go with a second color here. So what I kind of built is I looked at like the mono black vampire decks, and I looked at black white.
Mm-hmm.
So this here, I'm going to send this next one, is what I built as like a black white vampire budget deck for around $100-$115.
Okay. Now I was going to ask you for your the Challenger deck. Did you ever consider that other bestow creature? I want to say it's the 3/3 flyer that you can bestow. It's like a demon, I think.
Yeah, I looked at that one too. Didn't wow me too hard.
Okay. So you sending it to me?
Yeah, I think I sent that to you. You've been following our...
Where'd you send it?
I've been putting it in the deck lists chat. I don't know if that's okay. The right place.
Yeah, I haven't been looking. Okay, I see it now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you want to take a look, so there. Where did they go? So, you know, I made room for a couple of the 3-mana Sorin. He was really the big expensive part, mm-hmm. if you're looking at like a vampire's deck. I had to cut Kalidus. You know, I always thought he was a little on the slow side anyways.
Okay.
So, you know, this is pretty aggro. It's got black and white creatures. You know, I think this is a pretty reasonable list for being... $100.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely feels tough not to be able to utilize the Mutavaults that I'd love to be playing in here.
I like the Blood Baron. Yeah, I think that looks good. It's a good good budget build. Fatal Push. Yeah.
Yeah, Drag to the Underworld's been a nice one for these budget lists. Is you know, that's a very playable card, and that's a cheap card.
It's instead of Duress, I think I want to say there was a new card that was printed in Eldraine.
Oh, the Agonizing Remorse. No, is the one you're talking about.
No, there's another. There's a 1-mana one that I saw. That's like you look at an opponent's hand, and you exile. It's 1-mana, and you exile, and if it's not a black card, you lose a life or something like that.
Oh, sure. And that one's definitely got some drawback. I think that was in Throne of Eldraine.
Pretty sure it's Throne of Eldraine.
I'd have to check the name of that one out. I don't think that really saw play.
But, you know, if you're losing life and you're gaining life here, I mean, it kind
of
offsets.
Yeah, there was a cycle of those. Let me see what that was called. Yeah, it's if you don't exile a black card, then you exile a card from your own hand.
Is that what it does? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not good then. Never mind.
Yeah, so that's really only good against black decks.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, I kind of... I can understand the change to black-white vampires then for your more powerful budget version. I mean, it's too bad there's just not more... There's not more, what do you call, overlap between that and black. Like, if you're going to start the Challenger deck, you know, the mono-black to kind of build into mono-black... aggro, yeah. And then, you know, this version has like all these vampires. You're ending up spending more money, I think.
Yeah, I think the one there that really hurts you is the Sorin. If you're putting money into that and not building vampires.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess where you'd be able to improve it is, you know, you're buying your Thought Seizes, you're buying your Castle Lockthwains, yeah. You're buying your Mutavaults, your Urborgs. Those are where it's going to add up. So once you've got those all together, then you can really move over to mono black.
Yeah, I'm also surprised that you're not really playing any, you didn't put any shock lands into this one.
I mean, they're... How expensive are they? Like $9?
Yeah. I mean, I would. I mean, as if I was Wizards, usually I'd probably want to print those.
Yes, I would love it if Wizards did it. I had to limit myself.
Okay, so my turn, and then you got your last one after that. So moving on to my last choice, it was Blue-White Spirits. Blue-White Spirits wasn't that hard to build, to be honest. I feel like you can still have a very competitive deck without, you know, some of like the really expensive cards. So obviously you're not going to have Mutavaults, you know, in the budget, the Challenger deck build. But Spell Queller, you could definitely probably throw one into the budget build. It's like $11 a piece. That'd be like one of your big cards that can get reprinted. Rattle Chains is like $1 each. So you play four of those in your Challenger deck. Mausoleum Wanderer is a little expensive. I think it's like $4 a piece right now, so I probably have two in my budget build. I'd have two of those in my Challenger build. Supreme Phantom, yeah. I think it's like a dollar or something right now, maybe almost $2. So like I'd put three of those in this Challenger build. So that would come out to like $5. Brazen Borrower, I would not use. I would drop that. I would switch that for Nebelgast Herald, which people were kind of using not too long ago. It's a great tempo card if you're playing a lot of spirits. It's a 2/1. If it has, you can give it flash. Basically, if you have Rattle Chains in play, and it taps a creature down whenever you play a spirit. So okay. I thought that'd be really good. And those are like $2 a piece. So that comes out to like $6 for those. Port Towns, you could definitely include some of those in your Challenger deck. Those are like $250 a piece, so two of those would be like $5. And I think I'd probably do some Glacial Fortresses in here as well. Those are currently going for $5 a piece. Kind of
pricey.
I don't
know if those will fit in a $40 version, but those will be good in like a $100 version.
So I would not play Teferi. Teferi just
kind
of defeats the purpose of the deck. I mean, it's strong and some people are playing it, but yeah, I think if you're just focusing mainly on spirits, you don't need that. And even taking out Brazen Borrower is fine. Hmm. You know, you go more all in on spirits. So that would be my Challenger deck, the cheap $40 version or so. And I can price that out for you if you think that sounds too expensive.
Yeah, I'm calling you on that because I think that's going to be a lot more
Spell
than $40.
So Spellqueller is 11. Like I said, Rattle Chains is 4 of them for 4, so that's 15. Mausoleum Wanderer is $8 for 2 of them, so that would be 23. Supreme Phantoms are about 5, I think, for 3 of them right now. Because right now it looks like, I'm checking the price, Supreme Phantom is $7.16 for 4. So yeah, it would be about $5, so 13, 24, 29. Herald 6, so that's like 35. Port Town is 5, was that 40 then? And then Glacial Forest
is
10.
Yeah, that's
40. So it comes out to about 50 or so. It'll be,
and that's without a sideboard or anything.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a little bit more expensive, I think.
Okay.
But, once you reprint these, like, Rattle Chains will become like a bulk card, basically. Sorry. Everyone, just to let everybody know in online, you know, that over the next few weeks, probably be a lot of podcasters coughing. It's totally natural. Yeah. We're fighting. So that's the Challenger deck. The budget deck. So, again, keeping with the Rattle Chains, 4 of those. Supreme Phantom, perfectly fine doing 4 of those, I think, as well. Again, they only came out to like $7 a piece for 4 of them. Mausoleum Wanderers, you could probably go up to 3 of those for $12 total. I'd go with 2 Spell Quillers, which would be like $22. A Selfless Spirit, which is 11. That's kind of pricey, to be honest. I'd continue.
Yeah, Selfless Spirit's really gone up in price.
Yeah, I'd continue to use.
Now, what about the other 2 one? Do you prefer that one over Selfless Spirit?
Which one?
What is it called? The one that sacrifices to exile their graveyard.
Oh, the Remorseful Cleric. Yeah, that would be a good card instead of Rest in Peace. Like for your sideboard,
yeah,
it's a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, that's just under a buck. So, I mean, I'm fine with replacing your main deck Selfless Spirits with that as well.
Yeah. Brazen Borrower, again, becomes Herald in the budget version. I could definitely probably reprint Hallowed Fountain. In this deck, I'd probably do 2 of those. They're like $8 a piece. Those would go down a little bit more if you reprinted those.
Okay, yeah.
Again, that'd print some more Glacial Fortress because we obviously need more of those. So that'd be like, I'd do 3 of those in the budget version for 15. And Port Towns, I'd go up to a full playset. They're like $2.50 a piece, so that'd be $10. And then with the last part, I would probably add in some Mystical Disputes, which need some reprints. Those are like $3 a piece.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a great card to get some more prints out. Yeah, right about in there.
Yeah, so that comes out to about $100, $110, I believe.
Without a sideboard still, probably?
Yeah, without the sideboard, sorry.
Okay, so anything that you fundamentally changed or just kind of took a couple cheaper routes were available?
Yeah, like I said, you know.
Like, do you know what you filled in the missing spots with anywhere?
I mean, what do you mean missing spots? You mean with like the...
Well, I mean, you know, you're going down to 1 to 2 Spell Quellers, 1 to 2 Selfless Spirits. Like, what other spirits are you putting in to replace those?
Well, I mean, they already have Spectral Sailor in there. They have Empyrean Eagle in there. You could definitely go up to another... you can do a full playset of Heralds. Like you said, you can do the main board Remorseful Clerics. There's also... I want to say that there's that one that has Protection from Black that exiles from graveyards.
That is a human.
It's not a spirit. Okay.
That's a human, definitely. So I liked playing that in Banned Humans.
Yeah. You mean you could also, instead of like Teferi, you could play the kicker spell, that blue kicker spell that returns a permanent.
Blink of an Eye?
Yeah. And then.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, that I mean, there's different ways. Basically, I'd play this mostly as a synergistic, you know, just all in on spirit and then tempo.
Okay, well, what about like Reflector Mage maybe as a replacement for
Also another good choice, I think. So Reflector Mage would also be a good choice in there. Just kind of, you could also turn this into even like a more flyer based thing.
Yeah, I could see Aether Sphere Harvester being good.
Mm-hmm. So like in the sideboard maybe, so.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think how, like, you know, you're taking out a lot of spirits, so I was wondering if you had more spirits in mind to replace them with.
Yeah. But there's plenty of spirits you can use. Like I said, Remorseful Cleric is good. I mean, it hits
okay.
Soul Tide Delirium, it hits Lotus Breach. It's a good main board card, if you ask me.
All right, let's get over my last one here, which is going to be the Blue-White Control. Now, this one I'm really proud of. You know, I tested out this, it's under $40, including the sideboard, including the mana base, you know, every single common, you know, every 25-cent common there, that's adding up. And, if you check out this $40 Blue-White Control deck.
I'm interested.
This thing's sick.
I'm interested. Let's check this out.
So let me try and think here. Let me kind of compare it to what the full price version is doing. So the biggest price of the current blue-white decks is really the Planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
Teferi Hero Dominaria is like a $30 card. The cheaper Teferi is like $20. Even I couldn't afford to get Narsets. Those are, you know, $3-4 each.
Mm-hmm.
The other big one that really costs a lot is Supreme Verdict. It's still around like $8.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. There's cheaper sweepers that are not quite as good. I do notice that it's much weaker, but I'm running Fumigate right now. Haven't been hating that. If you go just a little bit more expensive, there's Settle the Wreckage, mm-hmm. I think is quite strong. But those are justifiable, and then that's an easy place to improve it. Mana base, you know, I've got a lot of tap lands because I'm not running all of the, that's another easy place. You know, if I had Hollow Fountains, if I had Glacier Fortresses, those would be great. Instead, I've got like Azorius Guildgate,
mm-hmm.
Irrigated Farmland.
I like this.
I have noticed, testing the, these two color decks, testing the Battle for Zendikar, the Tango lands, those actually felt pretty strong. So Prairie Stream in here came in untapped a lot of the time, and I felt like that was a good addition. Just talking mana base. So, okay, yeah, let me talk about what I did add after taking some of these things out. So I had to lose a lot of Planeswalkers. That's a lot of inherent card advantage. What I looked at is another good card advantage was I built around Thirst True Meaning. So that's the 3-mana instant. You draw 3 cards and you discard 2 or an enchantment.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at, Omen of the Sea being a strong enchantment that's just worth playing anyways. I'm playing some Seal Away. I threw Dovin's Acuity in there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some Cast Out. I've got a Patient Rebuilding, kind of a, pet card, but almost works like a Planeswalker does.
So, actually, I played against some people recently that are playing Blue-White Control, and everyone's using Thirst for Meaning now. And basically, they're putting, like Leyline of Sanctity main, or...
Okay.
Or the other one. You could do the Gideon's Intervention. I didn't see that in your budget list, but I think that'd be good as like maybe a one or two of.
Yeah, if I'd had the money for that one, I think I've got that one in mind.
Because it's like 40 cents, right?
Oh, yeah, that is only 40 cents. I probably could have found
it. And it's an enchantment, so you could discard it if you wanted to. So, to Thirst for Meaning. So that would be my one suggestion for the super budget version.
Yeah, so the other important thing that I was looking at when building these is, the blue-white deck really goes with almost no win con.
Mm-hmm.
So usually they run, a few Teferi, maybe one Dream Trawler. Here I went with two Dream Trawler as my win condition. In the slightly more expensive one, I went as another two-card win con, which you'll see in a moment.
Two-color win con? Oh, well, I mean, I know...
Oh, two-card win con.
I don't know
if... I only devoted two cards to being my win con for the whole deck. So that can be risky, but I think it's not unreasonable.
So I see that you added it in your starter deck, the $100 version, but I think Approach would probably be a great card in the budget version for a win condition.
Yeah, so that's what I was referencing, is Approach of the Second Sun is kind of just a sweet card that can be a reasonable win con. If you are going long, it does win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, I could have interchanged. I could have made the other one a Dream Trawler deck and this one a Approach deck. I felt like Dream Trawler worked really well with Thirst for Meaning.
I mean... Honestly, if you're making budget, I think it's best just to build the approach as like your win con and just go all control, all like you know, tempo card.
I suppose. Dreamtrawler is a really good card. Like, it is a very reasonable card. So a couple other things I did, you know, I couldn't afford Dig Through Times. Mm-hmm. I went with Treasure Cruise instead. Usually that's a big downside, yeah. But with Dreamtrawler, it makes it slightly better. I mean, if you're running Approach, you definitely want Dig instead.
I mean, yeah, you got your cycling lands, right? And you got a lot of card draw here. I think you could do it.
Yeah, and Thirst, you know, feeds your Dig Through Times or your Treasure Cruises.
So, yeah.
Yeah, a lot going on.
So, Narset, Jace. Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, so going with the 100 version, I could afford some of the Planeswalkers. So I went with Narset. I went with some Jace Architect of Thought. I still didn't shell out for, like, the Flip Jace or the Sartreus Kanta. Those are still a little bit more. Here, I went with some of the just more classic, you know, the Opt build, Sensor, a lot of counter spells. And those all do run cheap, so this is a decent deck to make as a budget deck. I went with, so just, you know, a lot of counter spells, a lot of removal sweepers. Some Detention Spheres is a nice removal spell. I'd have thrown those in the other one if I could have afforded it. And here I got to play a little bit with my mana base. You know, I've got some things like a Gyre Reach Sanitarium, a Castle Arvindale, a Castle Vantress, even some Mystic Sanctuary I kind of put in there as a fun combination with Approach.
This is actually, like, pretty decent. For, like, $100, this seems pretty competitive. This is something you could take to, like, FNM and probably win a couple games with.
Yeah, I definitely felt like this one turned out, you know, both this $40 one and this $101 one turned out quite reasonable for what they are.
One card I don't really see in either of these. Sphinx Revelation.
Yeah, you know, I looked at it. I had included it in my real cheap one, but had to cut it because it was like $5.50.
Like, especially if you're playing Approach.
Yeah, so the one I went with instead was Thassa's Intervention. I think that there is justification between the two of them. I do quite like Thassa's Intervention. I had wanted to try it out, so I was testing it here.
Well, just another idea for anybody that's trying to draw their Approach more quickly. Yeah, a good deck. So, you know, real quick, I think we should talk about, you know, we said, like, the sideboards are going to be kind of difficult. And I wanted to kind of talk about what would be some good alternative cards for people to use in their sideboards. Like in Blue-Eyed Spirits, I said instead of playing, you know, Rest in Peace, you could do the Remorseful Cleric, the 2/1 that you can sack to exile their yard. But, like, what about stuff like... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Graveyard of Exile was definitely something I was, you know, Rest in Peace, didn't really want to run. Leyline of the Void, I didn't really want to run. I ended up going to a lot of Tormod's Crypt or Soulguide Lantern. I think both
for Graveyard Hate, you mean?
Yeah, the 3-mana Ashiok is also pretty, you know, the hybrid mana Ashiok is also a good one if you're in mono black or black X.
I think Gideon's Intervention is kind of like a good overall, you know, and so if you don't have the Gideon of the Trials.
Yeah,
I think they're kind of good as well. I don't know what other cards.
And that's what's been tough with some of the combo decks lately, you know, the Lotus Breach and the Inverter, is they do take some much more specific sideboard hate, which I think makes it more difficult to have generic sideboard hate, which is usually cheaper. So that has made things, I think, slightly more expensive just because they have very specific answers. You know, Damping Sphere, I think, was another example.
Yeah,
like, that's run up in price just because it counters one deck.
I mean, you could play it. You could still play it, though, I think, in a budget version, maybe as a 1 or 2.
Yeah.
But, like, what other cards do you see show up in a lot of sideboards that kind of need to have, like, a budget version? Well, like you said, instead of Ferocidon, you have your Tybalt,
So Mystical Dispute is one that I saw showing up a lot.
But, like,
what about in my more expensive blue white version? I've got Mystical
like
Dispute.
Black
I've got Aether Gust. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So, like, as far as hand disruption, like, what do you think is good?
Are you sure?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so I was just saying, like, Mystical Dispute, Aether Gust were two that I was seeing showing up. Mm-hmm. I looked at cheaper versions of those. You know, from Dragons of Tarkir, I had Encase in Ice, and which is also an enchantment, which is nice. And I went with, like, Jace's Defeat instead of Mystical Dispute, because it's 16 cents instead of $3.
Yeah. Okay.
Discard, yeah, like we kind of said, you know, Drillbit's reasonable, Duress is fine. I think Agonizing Remorse is pretty good.
Yeah.
Their Transgress the Mind... Transgress of the Mind was good for that brief period where everyone was running Veil of Summer.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of any other cards that you could really put into the sideboard that are kind of like widespread, you know what I mean? Like, control's easy. You can just choose different control or different counterspell cards. As far as creature cards, you know, like those mono green decks. I don't know. I mean, I guess Reclamation Sage would be good for cards for decks that are trying to like get some good value that don't have access to like Assassin's Trophy, maybe.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, but I think that's probably a good place to stop here for today, though. I think we
Yeah,
covered most of what
definitely.
we wanted to
We
talk about.
ranted about our few decks that we liked.
Yeah.
I will post my lists at some point. I don't know if you wanted to put yours together and
I
try and
no.
post them, but
I'm good. I'll
okay, yeah,
let
that's
people
fine.
brew. We got lots of free
I
time.
enjoy doing this, so I went pretty hard on it. I understand.
But yeah, very.
If you guys want us to hear to talk about any other specific decks, if you want to ask about the decks we talked about in this show, if you want to talk about what the weather is, because we're going to be stuck inside staring out the window anyways, please go ahead and tweet me out. I'm at MTG Pioneer. You can also find us on Discord, MTG Pioneer. You can find, no, sorry, Reddit MTG Pioneer, and you can find the Discord associated with that. You can also find our The First Pioneers Discord.
And of course, you guys can find me on Twitter at Yoshwenky, YoSCHWENKY, and my website is www.thejapanhobbyist.com. Again, I wanted to recommend listening to the old Final Frontier Archive podcast, episode 40.
I'd love it, but nobody's going to listen to our Frontier. Nobody cares about Frontier then. I don't know if they care
Yeah, but
about
I'm
it
saying,
now.
like we said, we talk about a little bit more decks.
Sure, yeah.
They're not
If you
decks that are
guys
currently
really
in Pioneer,
enjoy.
so if you're brewing something, you know, they can kind of get some more ideas.
Yeah, I think we talked about, like, in Soul, we talked about scales.
Yeah.
If you guys enjoy this kind of content, you'll really love that old episode.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know.
Yeah.
I also don't know if all those prices still make sense.
Probably not.
Ballista was probably a $5 card, not a $25 card.
Yeah. But
All right, that's gonna bring us towards the end of our show. You have anything else today, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier, if you have any other great ideas for budget, you know, decks, you know, send us a line and you know, we'll add it to our Discord and our chats. So, thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. I'm Kevin Finkel, and this was another episode of Magic: The First Pioneers. On our podcast, we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. Now, signing off.